Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, elephants are extremely intelligent and social creatures, and it's only now that scientists are beginning to understand how they communicate with each other. The fruits of that research are now being collated into a sort of an elephant dictionary. It's being managed by a charity called Elephant Voices, and we're joined by co-director Joyce Poole. Joyce, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
If you could start by explaining something. In the ethogram, you have 322 behaviours, behavioural constellations, and 20 through behavioural contexts. Could you explain, I suppose, behaviours people would understand? What does a behavioural constellation mean?
Well, a behavioural constellation is a number of different behaviours that typically go together. So, for instance, with a must walk, a must male carries his head high, his ears tense, and has a very a swagger to his gait.
And why is he doing that?
Well, it's because he's in his sexually active period. So he's showing off, I guess, to other males, or it's a warning to other males, and showing off to females.
Right. OK. And so there are a number of things that would go together.
Now, yes.
These things are very complex, because I suppose maybe people don't realise how complex the social construction is among elephants. Could you tell us a bit about their family groups and the wider groups?
Well, in a way, they're a bit like us. They live in families, although their families are led by adult females. The males leave their families when they're about 14 years old, but mothers and daughters stay together for life. And they live, you know, up to 70 years old. So these individuals are very, very closely bonded. And also, like us, they're not always together. So members of a family that may number up to 50 individuals can be separated for, you know, part of the day, just like we are, and then come back together again. And when they do, they have a greeting ceremony, also kind of like us.
And do they have those great, you know, the way they say hello? Does it differ from between groups of elephants, or is it always the same?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if we have the answer to it, but it differs depending on how long they have been apart or how closely bonded they are. So, if, you know, sometimes it's just a soft greeting if they've just been separated for, let's say, half an hour and just around the other side of a bush or something like that. But if they've been separated for a couple of days or perhaps even a week, then when they come together, you know, they have these very low frequency, powerful contact calls that they can communicate over several kilometers. But once they come together again, then the greetings will be extraordinarily powerful and associated with very powerful ear flapping and pirouetting and urinating and defecating and all sorts of things.
Those long distance communications, would they all be on, could the human ear hear them all, or are they on below our hearing?
Yeah, they have, you know, the rumbles that elephants make all contain, or at least the adults, all contain infrasonic components, that is, below the level of human hearing. But most of them have their upper harmonics are within the audible range for us. So we can hear, if we're close enough to the elephants and the sounds, the calls they're making are powerful enough, then we would hear them.
Yeah. And when there are long distance communications, what are they saying to each other? Is it just, I'm over here, don't worry about me? Or is it more complex than that?
Well, I wish we knew a bit more, to be honest. But there are many different things. I mean, for instance, if a female is in estrus, you know, if she's receptive, then she gives a particular kind of a call that attracts males. And that can be picked up by males from perhaps 10 kilometers away. Whereas family groups give these so-called contact calls, or even their greeting rumbles could be heard from and individuals identified. So they can pick up on which individual is calling. They would know their own family members or their members of their own clan from up to 2 kilometers away.
Now, because partially the reason why I asked that question is, you know, you know this better than I do, but it's common sense that elephants need a lot of food and need a lot of water. Are there any indications that some of those vocalizations might mean there's great food, there's great eating over here, and that elephant is telling the other elephants to come over?
Well, they do have, yes, I think so. And they do have a call that means, I want to go this way, let's go together. I call it a let's go rumble. And elephants give that call, and at the same time, they use their body to point in the direction they want to go. I call that body axis pointing. And then they'll give a bunch of intention movements, like swinging their foot or taking a few steps and then waiting and looking back to see if anybody else is paying attention or is following them. And so with those calls, I do think they're saying, you know, let's go in this direction, perhaps because of good food or because I'm thirsty, for instance.
Mm. They also use their ears a lot to communicate. What do they tend to say with their ears?
Well, okay, so many of the vocalizations they make are associated with ear flaps. Not all of them, but particular calls like the let's go rumble is associated with a very rhythmic ear flapping. And when they're greeting one another, they give what I call rapid ear flapping. But then there are other gestures, you might call them, that produce, you know, where the ear produces sound itself. So they have what I call an ear flap slide, which is they slap the ear against their shoulders and then move their head upwards so that it slides down the side of the body, making a particular sound. And that's a kind of like, heads up, I'm moving off in this direction.
Mm. Now, I think probably a lot of people listening would know that, you know, it, I think it's a relatively recent discovery, or at least it's been proven that elephants grieve to some extent, but where members of the group have died. I assume they can feel happy as well. How do they express those emotions?
Well, when they're sad, or when they're around, you know, a member of their family who's died, or even an elephant who's not a member of their family, they're very, very quiet, very slow moving, touching the carcass, touching the dead animal, trying to lift the animal. Whereas when they're happy, when they're joyful, like for instance, when the family's coming back together again, they're very animated and make a hell of a racket. With everyone screaming and rumbling and roaring.
Is there any evidence, or do you know one way or the other, that because these are particular elephants in a particular place, do other elephants in other parts of the world, might they communicate in a completely different way with each other?
I think it's very similar, because I've studied elephants in a number of different populations. But what is different is that the histories of different populations are different. You know, some elephants have gone through terrible poaching, whereas other elephants have been more protected. Some elephants live in savanna, open savanna, whereas others live in forests. So the kind of communication and different behaviors they engage in will be quite different, and also the proportion of certain behaviors will be different. The frequency, I should say, will be different.
And presumably, you'll be adding to this on an ongoing basis.
Yes, we will. We still have some of our own footage that we need to add from Gorongosa in Mozambique, where elephants were heavily poached.
Joyce Poole is founder of Elephant Voices. Joyce, thanks very much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.